The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello and welcome to The Punt. Alex Dunn here, in place of Dave Kellner and in place of Mark Walton and generally feeling a bit unwanted, with Derek McGuffin and Lee Phelps looking ahead.
I don't want you to feel like that. Anyway.
It's okay. It's a good opportunity for me, this. It's a step up from the European Football Podcast, anyway.
That's true,
it?
Yeah.
Joined by Lee Phelps and Derek McGuffin to look at the 10 Premier League games this weekend. How are you, chaps?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Yeah, great.
Good. Should we just quickly look back at last week? Naps, I believe you had a winner again, Derek, didn't you?
Well, you know what you need to do is just tape this part of the show and just sort of do it on a loop every week, because it's I had a winner and the other two clowns didn't. So that's all you need to know. Liverpool, I had.
I resent the term clown.
Why, Coco?
I don't know. I just resent it. I know it's not going to stop you, but I just wanted to put that out there. I can't even remember what my nap was now. I remember thinking that I hit the post with it, but that might have been my own mind playing tricks with me.
Maybe.
And Mark Walton. Actually, no, it was FA Cup weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I do know what it was. It was Leicester to beat Villa. And it was their performance was pretty abject. And Mark Walton went for Middlesbrough at 9-1 to beat Arsenal, which was probably the worst of the three.
It was. They never got a look in.
Yeah. Liverpool 13-10. Was it 13-10?
Yes, it was.
11-10.
11-10.
Yeah. Great price.
Right, should we kick on?
Yeah, let's.
Right, we'll start with the first televised game of the weekend, which is tea time. There's no Saturday lunchtime game in the Premiership. The tea time game, Man City against Newcastle. Man City 3-10, the draw 7-2, Newcastle 12-1. We've got Traore and Bonny back from the African Cup of Nations. Aguero's maybe 50-50. Personally, I think he will start. Newcastle, of course, won here in the Capital One Cup. But this is a bit of a different ask, isn't it, Derek?
Well, yeah, 2-4-0 defeats they've had in the last two visits to the Etihad in the league anyway. And I can see another one brewing, to be honest. It's just hints, isn't it, that City have got that mid-season blip behind them. I mean, that result against Stoke, a tough game to go to Stoke, given the stick they'd had, two draws and two defeats on the back of, and win 4-1 against a Stoke side that were in pretty good form. That shows you what they're capable of. And I think they'll pound Newcastle, who were against Palace and against Stoke in recent weeks have been pretty average. I love the comments from the manager, John Carver, after that 1-1 draw. He said, well, that's another game undefeated. It's now one win, three draws and two defeats, and that's pretty good in this league. Well, actually, that's 6 points from six games, and it gets you 38 points over the season, relegation in other words. So, I mean, if that's the limit of his ambitions, Newcastle really are in trouble. You're not going to get rich back in Man City at 3-10. You are going to make a profit because they will win. You know what? I can see City hammering them here, and I'm going to go for a City half time and full time win, 7-10.
Okay, Mr. Phelps.
Yeah, no, I'm not quite as confident as Derek of the City. I think they will win. I just think that Newcastle. I think John Carver might go there and try and do a job like Hull did and like Stoke did, and really set up defensively. I haven't seen too much. From Newcastle in terms of, you know, any ambition to go and win this, and why would they? There's no point, is there? But City are becoming a little bit like Arsenal for me, Derek, in that I don't feel I can trust them at really short prices, even at home against, you know, a team who they should beat. Not that they won't win it, it's just I think they take the time. You know, I think they're not particularly like up and at them, are they, City? Like, you don't see the City flying out from the first whistle and battering teams. You know, the whole game, of course, it took them till a stoppage time James Milner goal to rescue a point there. I've been looking at the half time draw full time City that landed when Crystal Palace went there. They didn't score the first goal to the 49th, but ended up winning 3-0 in the end. You look at Sunderland went there and it was all level at half time. In the end, City opened the scoring in the 57th minute and won the game in the end. And it's happened, you know, a few times this season, and not least obviously when Stoke went and did it, and you know they actually won the game in the end. That's the worry, that you put up the half-time draw, full-time City, and they don't quite get it done. But I agree with Derek in that I think they will beat Newcastle in the end. The draw then Man City to win is 16-5. I've done this bet a few times this season with Chelsea and City. If you don't quite fancy that, you don't think Newcastle can last out that long, then the other way of playing it would be the the draw at the 30-minute market. So the draw at 30 minutes, that's the other way of looking at this. It's 17-20, though, so it's a touch of odds on for the game to be all square at 30 minutes. The other way is all the goal time betting, where you can back a team to score the first goal. And then, so time of first goal, Man City under and over, up to and including the 30th minute, is 17-20. 31st minute and over is 23-20. So you need City to not score before the 31st minute for that to land. The other way is the first goal, Man City to score first, and the first goal up to and including the 30th minute or after. That's 7-4. So Man City score first goal after 31 minutes, 7-4. A bit confusing, but if you go to the time of goal markets, and it's right at the bottom of that, and that'll be my pick. Actually, I think it'll be tight for the first 30 minutes.
Well, we should say, one other thing we should say, Lee and Alex, is that, you know, City are very sure to win the game, but and they are playing in the Champions League next Tuesday against Barcelona. So you know, there is a danger for the money buyers that they might have an eye on that.
Yeah, there is that. I was actually looking back, Derek, to last season when they went into these games, and you know that they had Barcelona last year, pretty much to the week, and they warmed up to that with a 2-0 win over Chelsea. And then the return leg against Barcelona, they lost to Barcelona, didn't they? 2-0. The return leg though, they lost at home to Wigan. Ahead of that game, so it's pretty difficult to get a handle on what City are. I think that's the problem with them for me. You know, they can blow teams away, but you wonder if they really, I don't know, they just don't convince me enough at the minute to back them at 3-10.
For the record, I'm going to stick me two pence in here.
You're a Newcastle fan. You can tell because he calls them Newcastle.
And there's only one result here, and it is a pasting.
All right, okay, you're genuinely going with, that's fine then.
Having seen us against Hull, impressive, but Hull are awful. The Palace game was horrible to watch. No chances created. The only reason that Newcastle won in the Capital One Cup was because they had pace on the wings. Aarons and Obertan. Aarons is injured. Obertan coming back from injury. It comes to something when you're pinning your hopes on Gabriel Obertan starting a match, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I just think it'll be too narrow. City to nil at 21-20 seems a fair bet as well. Also worth noting, Newcastle haven't won at the Etihad or the City of Manchester Stadium in the league ever. So yeah, there you go.
You can come back and do all the Newcastle games.
Yeah, I might do. Right, next game, Tottenham against West Ham. That's the lunchtime kickoff on Sunday. Tottenham 5-6, the draw 11-5, West Ham 19-5 even. Things potentially going a little bit wrong at West Ham. No win in four. No, they have had some tough games in there. Mm. The defeat at West Brom in the Cup was pretty unacceptable. Spurs coming off the back of a solid result in the Europa League against Fiorentina, Mr. Phelps.
Yeah, poor old Sam Allardyce, eh, Derek? I mean, I know you're a massive fan of his. He's got his team eighth in the Premier League. They're safe with 13 games to go. They lose in the FA Cup and they have a bad day. And now everyone wants it out. Even the owners are getting stick.
He shortened, didn't he?
He's 9-4 to be the next manager to go. I think Pearson's still the favourite there. But yeah, obviously, you know, it's just an uneasy alliance, isn't it? Sam Allardyce and West Ham. He'll just have to go at some point, because I think even if they were top of the table and they drew a game, the fans would be like calling for him to go. The interesting thing about this is that he blamed tiredness and fatigue for the FA Cup defeat at West Brom, which was dismal. You know, a terrible performance. I think we've got two teams here who might be suffering from a bit of tiredness. Tottenham have lost four games at White Hart Lane all season. All four of those have followed a Europa League Thursday night game. So I think I'm going to go along with that and think that this is, you know, this is the same thing that happens. Now, Harry Kane didn't play the full game against Fiorentina, so you know he will be fresher. And he was the man who was, of course, doing great things in the Europa League in the group stages, and then wasn't really playing in the Premier League in the early days of that competition. So I think both teams will be a little fatigued. I'm going to go on another a bit of a quirky one again here. Tottenham have scored 11 goals in their return games after a Europa League game on a Thursday. Only three of those 11 have been scored after half-time, which kind of falls into the pattern of them kind of coming out in the first half and being full of energy, but they're maybe tiring in the second half. So I'm looking at the first half to be Tottenham's highest scoring. The price has just flicked off the screen, but I'll get that when Derek's finished. So I think on the outrights, I'm going to go for a draw. I think West Ham will knuckle down a little bit here. 11-5 the draw. Just don't want to trust Tottenham at 5-6 with those Europa League stats, and I'll find the first half one in a minute.
Okay, Derek?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very interesting stat, that, isn't it? Those four defeats all following the Thursday night games. And it's one that you can't ignore, particularly when you're looking to back Tottenham odds on in what is a low, you know, is a derby match, a bitter derby match. You know, really, I should be going for West Ham here, but I haven't witnessed what I saw against West Brom, and they were absolutely appalling. In fact, they have, in three of the last four matches, they've failed to score. I can't really back him. Hippo Head getting all kinds of flack from the fans. You know what? I might go with Lee. I've got a feeling this could well end up in a draw here. I think Tottenham are a little bit too short given what they do after Europa League exertions. And I just can't bring myself to back West Ham. So the draw for me.
Yeah, that is Tottenham's highest scoring half. First half is 11-5. The tie draw, so the same in both halves, is 7-4, and for the second half to be highest scoring is 5-4. So yeah, given those stats, 8 of 11 have been first half goals. So I'll go with that.
He's going to go any Allardyce. He's going to.
At some point, I was quite tempted to back him, you know, at 9-4, because you know if the season just peters out, Derek. I mean, even if the top 10. It's not working, is it? And as soon as the owners start to get stick from... They don't, you know, if the manager's getting stick, no one cares, do they? As soon as the owners start to get stick and you know, right up in their faces, then I think they start to listen.
Well, it's not so much that, Lee. I mean, there's definitely a clash of personalities between the manager, if he had one, and the owners, because, you know, over a couple of signings that have come in over his head, and that's the problem. You know, the owners want him out, I'm pretty sure, and he'll go in the summer. I don't think he'll go beforehand, but he'll go in the summer.
Yeah, the West Ham fans aren't big fans of his either, are they? I mean, you know, I was reading a few forums this week, and you know, they're talking about, you know, the kind of the big Sam media machine, and how he's just all about himself, you know, and about his hyping up his style of play. When they say, like, if you're actually watching the last few games, four or five, six games, he's just gone back to what he always does, which is route one.
Yeah.
You know, and they seem to have lost that ability to use the pace on the wings, and maybe. But to be fair to him, if we're evening it out, maybe the players have just run out of steam a little bit. You know, consistency is everything, and you know, maybe that's why Diafra Sakho isn't at a big team. Maybe that's why Ener Valencia hasn't made that big move, and maybe won't, because they can't quite do it week in, week out for a long season.
Just players that have been fantastic so far, and
yeah.
They've sort of reached
happens
the limit.
To load of teams, isn't it, to be fair? And even and really good players as well. So, you know, we'll see. But maybe just have enough just to hold Tottenham here.
Okay, so the draw at 11-5. Interestingly, Harry Kane to score Tottenham to win. Headline offer 7-4 if he can continue his fantastic run there. Everton-Leicester next up then. That is the 2:05 kickoff on Sunday. Leicester in a bit of a rut here, let's be honest. Everton have stopped conceding quite as many as they were early on in the season. Had a great win at Young Boys on Thursday night. And crucially, no Gareth Barry here, which could be a plus for Everton because he's been awful. Everton 5-6, the draw 11-5. Leicester 19-5, Derek.
Everything you said about Tottenham applies equally to Everton as well, doesn't it? Even though they've got easier opponents. I mean, I don't know where that result in midweek came from. The Young Boys at off. That's, you know, it's a line that you've been itching to say, isn't it?
I'm not itching, but yeah.
I don't know where it came from, but it was a strange game, that one. I was watching it last night, and you know, the Swiss side could have easily scored a few themselves. I'm not sure all is right all of a sudden at Everton. But Leicester, I mean, what a gift they could have, a gift match for them in the FA Cup last week, and they couldn't get it done against Villa. I think it's four straight defeats, five in their last six. Everything I said about Leicester early in the season, they just haven't got a squad that's capable of living in the Premier League. And then all of a sudden they went on that run to maybe look at a divvy. Well, it's come home to roost. They haven't got a squad good enough to live in the Premier League. And if Everton are going to get back on a winning trail in the top flight, this is the game for them. It's just, if it was evens, I don't know what it is, evens in 5-6. It ain't that, there's not a hill of beans between it, but it's psychologically, I'm just thinking, oh God, Everton are odds on. But I'm going to go for them because they will beat Leicester.
Mm. Okay, Lee?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Everton's, you know, form when they come back from the Europa League is pretty poor. They've got a losing record. They've beaten QPR in Burnley when they've come back from the Thursday night game, which they should have done. They were at home to QPR, and as we remember, QPR couldn't even get a draw away from home until last week. And they beat Burnley away when Burnley weren't doing too much. Lost to Crystal Palace, Man United and Tottenham, and the draw with Sunderland. They've just been a different team in Europe. I mean, they beat Wolfsburg 6-1 over two games, 4-1 at home and 2-0 away. Wolfsburg beat Bayern Munich 4-1 about 2 weeks ago. Mm. You know, I don't know what happens to them. They just turn into some brilliant team. On the midweek podcast, Derek, I put up Lukaku to score at 29-20, which is fine. It landed, you know. But Sam, who was doing the podcast with me, he quoted, when I said that, he quoted the anytime price, the first and last, two or more, and the hat trick. And I was just listening thinking, why are you quoting him in hat trick at 66-1?
Yeah.
66-1 he was.
He could have had about eight.
Oh,
he?
Man. Yeah, so again, like Tottenham, you know, I'm not sure I can trust them. I'm going to apply that same theory that for some reason in previous rounds they've struggled to translate that Europa League form into Premier League form. Leicester were really good at Arsenal. You know, they had lots of chances, should have really taken a point in that game. They took a point at home to this game when they played them at the home stadium 2-2. And that was when they had that purple patch. I'm gonna go for Leicester to get a draw here. I'm tempted by them at 19-5, to be honest, but the draw at 11-5, or maybe, you know, the draw no bet, or the plus one is another way in. I think they've got some goal scorers in this team, and the way they attack, they might just catch a fatigued Everton by surprise. Kramaric at 9-4 has got 2 in 4 starts for them. I quite like him as well. He's the guy who scored 21 and 18 in Croatia, and he's one of the top scorers in the Europa League, actually, from when he was playing for his Croatian team. But yeah, and the plus one would be the other way in, so Leicester and the draw effectively, but it's 17-20, and I don't really want to be backing them at odds on. Derek, have you seen the relegation prices, the 1-3 to go down Leicester?
Yeah.
Which that's not my kind of price, but if you that will land, I think.
Oh, it's
6-4 for them to finish bottom. Now, I was looking at you mentioned about, you know, what in one of the previous previews about, you know, the level that you need to survive. I went back over the last 10 years. These are the points totals that you survived on without goal difference included. 34, 37, 37, 40, 31, 35, 37, 39, 35 and 34. That's averages out at 36 points survival. If you take goal difference into consideration, then the safety mark is 35 averaged out over the last decade. Now, Leicester have managed 0.68 points per game so far. For them to survive, to get to 36, which might be a little low, they need 1.5 points per game from now on in.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
No, well,
it's
no.
Crazy. I mean, they need to win 4 games of the last 13, draw 8, and lose 1. Yeah. By my calculations, every time they lose a game from now on to the end of the season, they need to win one more. They've won 4 all season. I mean, they're just not going to do that, are they?
No, well, 1-3 is a certainty. I mean, the fact that the 5 points behind Aston Villa, who were a toilet. I mean, that's how bad they are. They were going to go down from the word go, weren't they?
Unbelievable. I think that 6-4 is a backable price.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, Burnley seem more capable of picking up results than Leicester.
Well, the 4 points ahead of them as well. Yeah. 6-4 is a massive
lot,
price.
Isn't it? It's a lot. You know, Villa, you know, you'd think maybe with the new manager will pick up. QPR have showed signs of picking up.
It can't be 6-4 to finish bottom.
Yep, 6-4.
Jesus Christ.
Burnley 9-4, QPR 100-30, Villa 11-2, Hull 9-1, Sunderland.
Oh, that's massive, isn't it?
It does look at it. Given the maths, I mean, people, when you talk generally, I think they could get out of it. And they might pick up a few wins here and there, but they've got to do an awful lot more than that to leapfrog some of those teams.
They've got 4 points to make up on Burnley just to get off the bottom spot, and they've only got 17 all season, so they need a quarter of their points just to get above Burnley.
Doesn't happen, does it?
No.
You know, and the remaining games, they've still got Chelsea to play, they've still got to go to Manchester City, they've still got to go to Tottenham. Towards the end of the season, it gets a little easier, but you've got to beat the teams around you. So, I just thought that was worth a look at 6-4. But having said all that, I think they could get something out of this game. But yeah, I'll go for the draw at 11-5 as my bet here. And I do like Kramaric to score in the match as well, if you're looking at goal scorers.
Okie doke. Right, we'll move on to the final game on Sunday, Southampton-Liverpool, 4:15, the kickoff time for this one. And the betting looks like this: Southampton 13-8, the draw 21-10, Liverpool 7-4. Liverpool now unbeaten in 90 minutes in 17 games, going back to mid-December and their loss at Manchester United. Real sort of feel-good factor at the minute. They're grinding the wins out. Bright sparks coming back, obviously. Sturridge, Jordan Ayew, Balotelli's hitting form as well. As for Southampton, no Bertrand, no Alderweireld. That will be a blow to their chances, but they're still in their pitching, aren't they, Lee?
Yeah, they are, yeah. You know, and without wanting to sound like a, a broken record. I've been waiting for Southampton to slip away all season long, and it just hasn't really happened, has it? The 4 points ahead of Liverpool. I think if they lose to Liverpool here, then they might start to get swallowed up by the pack a little bit. You know that, but if they beat Liverpool here, then I think we've got to start seriously thinking about them finishing the top four. Something I said categorically would not happen. I mean, after this game, they've got Chelsea away in the remaining 12 fixtures after this. The harder games are Chelsea away. They've got Tottenham at home, and they've got Man City away in the last game of the season. The rest are all outside of the top seven. So, you know, it's in their hands if they can get past this game. Obviously, been very good defensively.
It's a really nice running they've got there, in fairness.
It's not bad. Conceded 8 goals in 13 home games, scoring 24. Liverpool aren't one of the kind of top goal scoring teams away from home. They've scored 16 and conceded 16. So despite Liverpool have got a feel good factor. Look at their away form in the Premier League. They haven't been scoring buckets of goals. Scored 1 at Burnley, 1 at Sunderland, 2 at Villa. Couldn't score at Everton. Didn't score at Man U. I love the price though. 7-4 looks massive for Liverpool. The traders must have been scratching their heads on this one, thinking, "Oh, who are we going to favour in this game?" Because they love the Saints, they love Liverpool. I tell you what, I'm going to play. I'm going to go for under 1.5 goals here at 9-4. I think it'll be tight. I think Southampton will do what they try and do against the big teams and just shut up shop. Under 2.5 is 4-6, but under 1.5 for me here, 9-4. I think it'll be 1-0 either way. I'm just not quite sure which way.
Okay, Mr. McGovern?
Well, I think Liverpool got a secret weapon, because if they are losing to Southampton at any stage during the game, they're just going to buy another 4 of their players and put them on their side. I mean, all what you said about Liverpool's away form, yeah, I agree to a point, Lee, but most of those crap results came in the first half of the season when Liverpool were officially crap. Mm. I mean, you've got to treat them, you've got to judge them now on what they've done since December, because they're a new team now, especially when they've got Sturridge back as well, even though he didn't look that clever in midweek. Liverpool were a bit disappointing, I thought, actually, in midweek against Beşiktaş, despite the win. But unbeaten in what, 19 games, did you say, in 90 minutes?
17.
17, yeah. They're playing better than Southampton now. I mean, Southampton ain't going to finish in the top four. I've got a feeling they won't even finish in the top seven, Southampton. I mean, they are going down, and I'm fed up with them. I mean, it was a bit of fun early in the season. Bugger off back to mid-table where you belong. They're annoying me now.
Upstarts.
Yeah, well, I mean, one goal in their last three games, and they've only played Swansea, QPR and West Ham in that spell. Mm. Liverpool won 3-0 at St Mary's last season. I'm not saying it's going to be a walkover for Liverpool, but 7-4 is one of those prices that come along really, you know, not very often in the season when you want to go to war with it. I'm going to war this weekend. Liverpool will win.
Yeah, there are 130 to finish in the top four. Liverpool, Southampton are 2-1. Man U are 4-9. Again, so, Liverpool are value there as well.
Well, Liverpool are obviously out against the finish above Southampton if there wasn't a match bet. And the 4 points behind now, I'd be on that all day long. Yeah.
Okay. Can I have a bet here?
Yes, you can.
Just sort of a project that I've just started following. Since Liverpool are playing 5 at the back, obviously with the wing backs, sort of 3 at the back with the wing backs, Alberto Moreno, 8-1 any time. You compare him to the price of whoever's playing on the other side, probably Jordan Ibe. He's 13-5 any time. He's already got 2 this season, Moreno. Yeah. He's not going to be as much of an attacking threat, but he'll be in and around the box every now and again. I just think at 8-1, you're not backing a centre back who stays home for corners, are you?
No. That's worth a bet.
One of those where you've got to stick with it as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
Keep backing it for a few weeks until because you've got a few weeks grace, haven't you, before it has to land.
And it might be away from home to Southampton, probably not the time for him to grab a goal. But especially when Liverpool are at home, I think that is a bet that.
Yeah, he nearly got a screamer last night, didn't he, against Beşiktaş from 48 yards, screaming in the top corner almost till the goalie tipped over. Yeah, that's definitely sound advice, that.
You can
come again, Alex.
I don't want to dampen your enthusiasm, but he scored 3 in 62 for Sevilla. He's already got 2, though, in 29.
What are you talking about, Alex? What kind of a bet is that?
But he's already got 2 for Liverpool in 29, so he's already almost at the...
And he's playing a more advanced position.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah. I like that.
Got a factor
8-1.
Okay, shall we move on to the next game? We're in the 3 o'clock kickoff now, aren't we, on Saturday. The first one we'll talk about is Villa-Stoke coming up. 3 o'clock Saturday. Villa lost 5 in a row in the league, have well-documented problems in front of goal, but did beat Leicester in the FA Cup. Confidence obviously boosted by the arrival of Tim Sherwood. Meanwhile, Stoke arrive off the back of 2 4-1 defeats, one against Man City, one against Blackburn, and have got a bit of a defensive injury crisis this week. We'll start with Derek here.
Oh, God, thank you.
For that.
I mean, geez, it's Tim Sherwood. I mean, dear me. I mean, has anybody got a higher opinion of Tim Sherwood than Tim Sherwood? I mean, Villa have hired failed Scottish managers and now they decided to throw in with a failed English manager. I mean, most famous for making Gillett a laughing stock before he did the same with Spurs. I just can't have him. I cannot have Tim Sherwood. I think I think Villa are going to go from bad to worse. He won't save them. I think they'll go down now. And I think Stoke will win this. Yeah, two bad results start for Stoke. And it's hard to back him. Under 2-1, is it?
Yes, 7-4.
Yeah, but he won 4-1 here last season. I think it's a long time since they lost at Villa Park. And I just think they're a better, in every department, they're a stronger side than Villa. You sometimes get a new manager comes out, however inept, you sometimes get an upturn in fortunes briefly. But it doesn't matter how upturned Villa's form is. I don't think they're going to beat Stoke. I think Stoke are good things here.
Okay, Stoke won here 4-1 last year. Three draws prior to that. Villa haven't beaten them at home in the league since 2009.
Yeah, that 4-1 scoreline's been quite prevalent recently. And with that result last year, if you fancy a little daft one, 4-1 correct score might be worth a quid. I think the way they played against Leicester, they were obviously much more adventurous than they had been, not massively, but more adventurous than they had been. They seem to be pushing forward more. And Stoke, I think, will get after Villa here. I was really surprised to see over 2.5 goals at the price it is, at 13-8. I mean, I know Villa haven't been scoring, but I think that the change in attitude will create goals in this game. And I think Stoke need to... You know, Stoke haven't got an awful lot to play for, have they, other than just climbing the table?
11 to 8, sorry, not 13 to 8.
Mm. 11 to 8, my computer froze. I was just trying to remember what it was. 11 to 8 for over 2.5 goals looks a nice bet for me. I can see Stoke scoring, weighing in. I mean, you look at the previous games that you were just mentioning, the 4-1 defeats that they had. But there's been, you know, over 2.5 is a fairly common score in Villa's games recently. And Villa have just managed to beat Leicester 2-1. I think they're always likely to concede, but I think they'll score as well. So yeah, I mean, Stoke beat Rochdale 4-1, they beat QPR 3-1. It was only 1-1 at Newcastle, but then them 2-4-1 games as well. Every time I see a price like that for over 2.5, I almost want to back it blind, Derek.
Yeah,
it's too big a price for three goals in a football match.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay, right. Next up is Chelsea Burnley. Chelsea 1-5, the draw 5-1. Burnley 16-1. Chelsea aren't really hammering teams anymore. But Burnley have been leaking goals since the turn of the year. Got Diego Costa back from suspension for this one. Lee, do you expect this to be one-way traffic?
Yes, but, you know, Chelsea don't often go crazy, do they? And they've got, obviously, the Champions League game that they've just come back from. I'm not a big correct score player, but when it comes to Chelsea, I'm more than happy to row in with 2-0. Half of their home games have finished 2-0 this season. And on their returns from Champions League football, when they've played at home this season, they've won both games 2-0. So I'm going 2-0.
Okay.
Simple as that.
Fair enough.
It's landed. I mean, you know, it's one of those correct scores where you can go in with it and be quite confident that it'll land. Other ways of playing would be Chelsea to win an under 2.5 goals or -1, but that's pretty short, to be fair. So I think I've put it up in the past and it's landed a couple of times. 11-2 for 2-0.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
Okay, Derek?
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. I mean, I remember the reverse fixture at Turf Moor. I think they barely were ahead in that one, and then Chelsea absolutely mullered them, didn't they?
It was the first game of the season.
Yeah,
it was on a Monday night, wasn't it?
Yeah, Monday night. Yeah, I think they scored quite early on, I think.
That's right, yeah. And then Chelsea scored that goal where Fabregas gets absurd praise for a pass that we've all played in five-a-side, but there you go. I think Chelsea could win this comfortably, but that's not their MO, is it? It's a 2-0 win and, you know, get the job done. Save ourselves for bigger fixtures ahead. So, yeah, I mean, I'm you're looking and thinking, can you make a case for Burnley here? And the answer is no, you can't. So, yeah, 2-0. It's a crapshoot, really, isn't it? But 2-0 seems as good as anything.
Okay. Any goal scorers to look at? Obviously, Costa coming back 8-15 any time. I thought Hazard was too big. 17-20 any time. Takes penalties. Put him in a wing cast as well. It's even money.
Derek's a massive fan of Costa, so I think he'd be lumping on the 8-15, won't you?
Oh,
I reckon you'd take the no in that, wouldn't you?
Is he looking a bigger pudding as every week goes by? Seriously, I just can't. You know, I'm, my, I, you know, I'm I'm sorry, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. The rest of the world basically is blind where I'm wearing bifocals. It's a line from Butch Cassidy. I can see clearly this guy is not up to it, yeah. But I'm the only one.
I think it's the 17 goals he scored in the 19 appearances. I think a lot of those have just been lucky, like, you know, off the shin, off the knee, and off the ankle bone.
They used to say you used to say the same about Torres when I told you he was pony, and he was right.
I love it. But in truth, though, he has got to come back to form, hasn't he? You know, and he looked well off the pace, to be fair, the other night in the Champions League. I mean, he did look like he had bricks for boots, didn't it? There was stuff coming off his... every touch he had seemed to go the wrong way or go a little bit too far. So, I wouldn't look at him. I'd look elsewhere for goal scorers, and Hazard is as good as anyone, isn't he?
Yeah.
Best player in the team, I think, really.
Brilliant Hazard.
We're going forward, anyway.
Yes, OK. Right, Palace-Arsenal next up. Palace 4-1, the draw 21-10. Arsenal 17-20. Honeymoon period probably over now for Alan Pardew. They had a good run, but they were really poor against Newcastle. That was just a dreadful game, and they threw the lead away against Liverpool in the Cup. Arsenal a little bit in and out, but a win would put them temporarily at least into the Champions League places. Of course, Yaya Sanogo ineligible, easy for me to say, for Palace. Sanchez fit for Arsenal, but Aaron Ramsey out. Who's having first go here, Derek?
Yeah, I'll have first go because you're right about Palace. I didn't see much of the Newcastle game, but I've read the report and it was a shocker, a shocking performance by it. And then against Liverpool, I thought they were dismal. I really did. Mm. Liverpool didn't have to do that much to win that game, you know. And I thought Liverpool were good things, and they won like good things in the end. I give Middlesbrough a chance against Arsenal last week in the Cup, but they were just outclassed, weren't they? Arsenal aren't mullering teams at the moment, looking at the score lines, a few 2-1 wins in there and a 3-2 against Brighton, but they're getting the job done more often than not. And I like the price here, Arsenal. I actually think even though they're odds on, I think they're overpriced. I think they'll go to Palace and win easy like they did last season. They won 2-0 last season. I can see them winning 2-0 if you don't want to play the odds on away from home.
Okay, 17-20 for Arsenal to win on the outrights. The win to nil market is just loading. I'll get that to you in a second, Lee.
I think the honeymoon is over, or at least, you know, they're looking forward to the flight back for Palace. He hasn't done that great at home, to be honest. I think they're better suited to play away from home. I was looking at kind of if they'd picked up under him at home and what their attacking stats were like, if you like. But what I found was that when they play teams who allow quite a lot of shots on goal, they tend to do pretty well against them. They tend to be able to exploit the less defensive teams who are on the road. You know, I'm thinking of like Everton. Everton allow their opponents 15 shots on goal per game away from home. And Palace actually had 19, and that goes through. If you look at teams like even Tottenham, they allow, you know, 15 shots on goal. They had 15 shots, but when they play the stingier teams, you know, the teams, Newcastle included, Newcastle allow their opposition 11 shots on goal away from home. They only had 7. You know, the same when you look at them against Southampton, they only had 6 shots on goal, and Southampton are one of the better defensive teams. So I look back, and against Liverpool and Chelsea, two other good defensive teams away from home, they struggled to get shots on target. And Arsenal fit into that bracket. Arsenal are one of the better defensive teams away from home in that they don't allow teams to have too many shots and too many chances. So I think they'll struggle to get on the score sheet. And that all adds into Derek's bet, I think, of Arsenal to win 2-0. Arsenal, I was amazed at this. This is their away form in the Premier League this season. They drew the first two games. They haven't had a successive results the same since. So draw, draw, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, draw, win, loss, win, loss. We've got a win coming, haven't we? If you just follow the pattern, okay. That's my tactics with betting. Just follow patterns like that. I think they'll win the game. It's just whether they win it, whether it's best to go win to nil or over 2.5, or will they concede to Palace? Given those stats that I've just read out about Palace's attacking, I don't think they will.
I think if they do concede, I don't think they'll win.
Palace. Oh no, they won't. Awesome.
I think win to nil is probably the most sensible.
I'll row in with that. But to be honest with you, I mean, I know, you know, we always say Arsenal odds on, but if you leave this and they, you know, usually what tends to happen is the prices just get enhanced a tiny bit. I think you'd be pretty close to even money for even closer than we are now at 17-20. This is Arsenal away at Palace.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good price for me. I'm happy just to play Arsenal, I think, and not be too greedy here.
Yeah. Well, last week Liverpool were odds against 11-10. You know, which highlights what a great bet that was.
Yeah, yeah. They've won 3 games at home all season, Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
You know, Arsenal kind of, and I know they haven't been brilliant away from home, but they are flat track bullets, aren't they? I think they'll get this job done.
Okay, Arsenal 17-20. Arsenal to win to nil, incidentally, is 15-8.
That's decent, that, isn't it?
It's not too bad, yeah. Is it? Right, Hull QPR next, going from decent to, well, to this. Hull 11-10, the draw 21-10, QPR 11-4. Doesn't scream classic. Hull appalling against Newcastle a few weeks ago, got a point at City and then beat Villa. QPR, of course, picked up the first points of the season away from home in their victory at Sunderland. Chris Ramsey now in charge, of course. I've written down on my notes here, Lee, I have no opinion and underlined it. Do you?
Yeah, I have got a bit of an opinion. You kind of, if you're going to back QPR, you're kind of going on the buses theory, aren't you? Where, you wait for ages for that away win, and suddenly two come along at once. I mean, they were a little bit flattered by that 2-0 at Sunderland. Sunderland had all sorts of chances and really should have scored, in my opinion. So, that's the first clean sheet they've kept at home away from home all season. I'm not sure they'll do that again. Hull are a tricky team to pick, to be honest with you. I mean, like, you just, you know, they lose 3-0 at home to Newcastle, then almost beat City, then beat Villa fairly comfortably. I think both teams to score, it will land here. I think QPR know they have to go for it. You know, they're out of the relegation zone, but they have to win their away games because it's, you know, these are all the easy games coming up away from home. Hull, Palace, West Brom, Villa. You know, these are the winnable ones that they must win to stay in the Premier League for me, because the home fixtures, as we've said time and time again, are torrid. The home fixtures are Arsenal, Tottenham, Everton, Chelsea coming up and finishing with Newcastle and West Ham. I like the fact that I think Charlie Austin's due to start in this game. He's got half of their goals all season. So on the goal scorers, I'll look at Charlie Austin to score at any time. He's priced up at 19-10, which is a big price for someone who will be, you know, the focal point of their attack. If you fancy the QPR win, Charlie Austin to score in a QPR win is 6-1 on the headline offer. But I'll just play him to get back on the scoring with his return to the team. 19-10.
Okay, Derek, what do you think?
Well, the banker bet in this is to be last on match of the day, except that he might not show it at all. It's such a stinker. QPR 11-4, it's just screaming out to me. Hull are awful. Possibly obtaining form given what's happened recently. 1-1 draw at Man City, where did that come from? And then a 2-0 win at Villa, we know where that came from. Villa were the opponents. But QPR, that was a great result for them against Sunderland. OK, they rode their luck a little bit. But, you know what? I just think they're overpriced, I do. I think, Harry Redknapp going might be the catalyst for them to climb the table. I think there's a big discrepancy in prices here. To be honest, I'm surprised QPR are over 2-1, 9-4. 11-4 is too big, basically. I'm going to go for nearly 3-1 away from home to win at Hull. Come on, you've got to back that.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that, yeah, to be honest.
Yeah.
Right, is that all we've got to say on that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. We'll move on to a slightly more inspiring game, but that isn't saying much. Sunderland, West Brom. Sunderland 7-4, the draw 19-10. West Brom 9-5. Really sour mood on Wearside at the minute. Loss at home to QPR, followed by the defeat in the cup at Bradford. Gus Poyet sparking a bit of a war, to be honest, with the local media. Tony Pulis has made West Brom hard to beat on the road, but another game where it could really go either way, and you wouldn't be massively surprised, Eric.
No, you wouldn't, but West Brom got a decent record of Sunderland recently. I think, they lost their last season 2-0. But a 4-2 win the year before, a 3-2 win a couple of years ago, a 2-all draw as well. And they're playing well. You know, you can't knock some of their recent results, West Brom. They surprised me, because I look at their squad and I'm thinking, where are they getting these results from? Sunderland, well, I mean, Poyet is in real trouble there. The fans aren't taking to him. Whenever they have a bad result, he doesn't take the blame for it. It's the players, they're not following his rules. Something not quite right going on there at the Stadium of Light. And I think West Brom are good things here. I really, really fancy them. There's about three or four matches vying for my attention to bet of the day, bet of the weekend, and this is one of them. West Brom for me all day.
OK, West Brom at 9-5. Do you agree, Lee?
Yeah, I agree with what Derek's saying. I think it'll be a draw, though. But I don't know how Poyet's managed to get himself into this situation, because the one thing... My wife's from Sunderland, so my in-laws are, I'm up there, quite a bit. And the one thing that you've always got on your side is that the fans are with you. Cause it's like that they kind of hunker down, and the real, like, there's almost like a siege mentality against everything around there. And I think that's the easiest thing to do, is to make the Stadium of Light your place. And he's managed to upset them. And, I mean, to write an open letter to the fans, you don't need to be doing that, I don't think. I mean, I think you take it on the chin, you just get on with your job. If they concede early here, that'll be it. You know, the fans will turn straight away. If they score early, then he might get a bit of breathing space. But they were dreadful against Bradford. Bradford looked like they were in a higher division than Sunderland. Mm. You know, just a terrible performance. And West Brom are a better team at the minute, and they're in better mood. I was reading a piece from the keeper Foster about the effect that the new managers had in Pulis, and he just said it's no surprise. He's pretty old school. Tells us what he wants us to do, and we go and do it. And he said the mood is much better there. But Pulis also doesn't go away from home looking for wins very often.
Never.
He goes away looking for a point. Mm. They drew at West Ham. They've drawn at Everton. They've drawn at Burnley, and I think this will be a draw as well. I think. If we take it on trust that the players are still with Poyet, they won't want to lose. Poyet loses this game, he must be fearing for his job. So I think Sunderland go out, set up for a draw at home. That's before. They've had quite a few draws, haven't they, this season? They're the team who've drawn the most games in the Premier League this season so far. A total of 12 out of 25 have been draws. Six of those have been at home. Five draws for West Brom away from home already so far this season. So the draw's staring me in the face. If you think there's going to be goals, Brown Adai is finally starting to repay some of that £10 million transfer fee. He's got four in his last three games now. And Berahino, of course, decent as well. But yeah, if you think Brown Adai is going to get on the score sheet, then he's 11-5 to score at any time here. Seido Berahino's got 2-2. He's 2-1. They're both overpriced. Yeah. As far as goal scorers go.
A couple of tempting headline offers as well. Adai to score West Brom to win 6-1 and Jermaine Defoe to score Sunderland to win 4-1. I'd say if Sunderland are going to win, it's pretty much a given that Defoe will score.
And I presume he's back in. I mean, he didn't play in the...
he had a knock.
He didn't play in the cup, did he?
I think he's not quite a doubt, if that makes sense.
Mm, yeah.
Sort of 75%.
At his age, I would want him to be fully fit. I wouldn't want him to be carrying an injury into a game, so... Those two goal scorer bets, but draw for me.
Okay, draw for you, West Brom for Derek. And we've got one more match to come, Swansea against Manchester United. Swansea 3-1, the draw 11-5, Manchester United even money. It's a case of results getting a big tick for Manchester United at the minute, but not so much performances. Swansea, of course, won at Old Trafford in the first game of the season. And the key for them is Gylfi Sigurdsson returns here following his suspension. The way that Manchester United are playing at the minute and the amount of space that they're leaving, you could see him getting in the pockets and really causing some damage here, Lee.
Yes, yeah, that is massive, isn't it, him coming back. We've talked about him being missing and Boney not being there anymore, costing them so much. Big Ron rang me this morning, our former punt colleague, out of the blue. I had a 25-minute chat with him.
What was he on about?
I was trying to pick his brains about Man United and find out what was going on, and he pretty much said that it doesn't really matter what they do. They just pick up points, and there they are, third in the table. He thinks Van Gaal's just experimenting, using the season as a bit of an experiment and trying things out. You know, he was pretty critical of where Rooney's being played, but I think that's pretty standard from everyone, isn't it? But, they don't seem to do anything, do they? But they seem to—they're just like they always were.
It's funny to
pick up results, don't they?
It's funny that, Lee. Where is not Man United? And you look at their recent results, and where they are in the table. Third in the table, 3-1 wins everywhere, 3-0 wins. Haven't been beaten for ages, and you'd be thinking, licking your lips at even money against Swansea. It's only because you realise how poorly they've been playing for Man United that you think again. I mean, I think Ron's been very charitable there to Van Vlaafis. I mean,
he is working for MUTV these days, so maybe. Maybe he has to be.
Ah, well, there you go. Yeah, mind you, it was a private conversation until you just revealed it all, obviously.
I mean, he probably knew I was going to reveal it all on here.
Yeah, true.
It's canny, isn't he?
It's Rooney. I mean, what's he doing? Rooney is playing out of position, even worse. Falcao's playing. So that's how bad they are. I don't know.
I think it's a hard game.
You could say to me, right, make a case for all three here. You know, Swansea, Man United, and as well. And you could. You could make a coaching case for all of them. But I'm going to go for Man United because I just think since Boney's gone from Swansea, I think they lack a threat. Yeah, yeah. And when they're losing against West Brom, as they did easily, Blackburn as well in the cup, albeit with 10 men, that 5-0 thrashing at Chelsea. I remember when they played at Liverpool, they were appalling. They do throw in some terrible performances. And Man United do as well, but they win. I'm going to go for United here. I think United will be in a lot of hackers this week, and I don't think they'll let anyone down.
Okay.
Yeah. It does look. It did. He just looks a bit big, doesn't it? I'm not that confident of Man United winning here. And, you know, in, given their away form, three away wins all season, Manchester United, and drawing lots of games, then, you know, your theory on 3-1 should really stand, given that Swansea are at home as well. But I'm just not confident. I'm just not confident enough on either one, to be honest with you. But I'm not even confident enough to go for the draw. I honestly find it a really difficult game to pick. I'm going to trust that Swansea get it done here and get something out of it, but I'm going to go for the draw and both teams to score at 16-5.
Okay, big enough, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, the odds compilers have got this game spot on, haven't they? It's absolutely spot on. I can't see value in any of the quotes.
No. Swansea did lose 4-1 to Man United in this fixture last season, but they were a different team then, I think, Man United. So, yeah, I'll go for the draw.
Okay, draw in that one. Should we move on to Naps? Who wants
Derek
first
can go
pick?
First.
Go on then, Derek.
He's winning all the time.
Well, no, I'm in the lead, aren't I? So
no, that's what we said, I think. If you're in the lead, you get the prerogative. Fair.
Yeah, there's a few here. I mean, at Arsenal, I think we'll win at Palace. I think Stoke will win at Villa. West Brom at Sunderland. United at Swansea. Ah, dear me. I'll have to go for Liverpool, 7-4, to win at Southampton.
Yeah.
Okay, Liverpool for Derek.
What are you going for?
What game do you want?
No, well, I've got a few, so it doesn't really matter.
I don't mind Everton at 5-6. I don't mind Sigurdsson any time for Swansea at 13-5. I really like City to beat Newcastle to 0, but I'm not going to put that up just on
principle grounds.
Yeah, religious grounds.
Yeah.
So I will go for Chelsea to win and Hazard to score, even money.
Interesting. I don't know if you can have that.
Can we not put it in
the treble?
I'll just go Hazard anytime, 17-20.
That's fine, yeah. Yeah, Chelsea, that Chelsea 2-0 was going to be one of mine, just to kind of, I know it was 11-2. As a nap, it seemed a bit big, but I'm going to go with Arsenal, I think, just to win. Arsenal to win at Palace. I mean, you know, like Derek said, you can throw in to nil or over 2.5 in there to build a better price, but just for the purposes of this, it's quite a skinny treble that for us.
Yeah, do you want me to chuck Moreno in?
No, no, it's fine. No. He might have a chance of winning.
Southampton, Liverpool to win, 7-4. Hazard, anytime goal scorer at home to Burnley, 17-20. And Arsenal to win at Palace, 17-20. Pays 8.41-1.
If Arsenal don't win, I'm never backing them again. At odds on.
Yeah, the answer to the punter, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, how many? I've said that more times than I'm never drinking again.
Okay, yeah, and you stink of booze. So.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
Right, lovely stuff.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers, Derek. Thanks, Alex.
See you soon. Bye, then.
Cheers, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.